Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio. Baruch Hashem Adonai, and Shalom, Havarim, and also Shabbat Shalom. And I just said, blessed is the name of the Lord, and peace to our friends out there, and have a happy and good Sabbath, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKW Christian Radio. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. So get your Bible, your pen, and a piece of paper, and get ready to take some notes and enjoy the next hour of learning from God's Word, especially on the study of the end days. But first, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit in. We're going to pray to our Father in heaven, Abba, Father. We lift up our children to you, and especially our grandchildren to you this morning. Help their parents, help these little ones that a grandchild of mine and a grandchild of Sheila. Help these little ones get through the battles they're fighting with their health. And Lord, we know that you can touch them and heal them, and that sometimes it's a trial and a test for the parents and the grandparents. But we know that you're in ultimate control. So we lift up these little children to you. And we also want to include everyone that's called in this week with their prayer requests. And they're just, we know you answer them. We have faith in you, Lord. Thank you for helping me with my walk of faith this week. And it's been a rocky road. It's been a roller coaster, but we thank you for all those things that you do to test us, to try us, because you know you want us to love you, and we do. We love you, Lord, and if there's anyone listening out there that does not know you as their Savior, we pray today that this is the day that that they receive you.
Yes, yeah. Lord, and I'd like to add to the financial burdens that a lot of people have out there. I've gotten many requests this week for money, even just to pay their rent. So I just lift that up to you, Lord, and I pray that you will provide for them, especially any new believers that are looking towards you for help. And I also pray for this radio station. This WHKW is a great Christian radio station, Lord, and I'd like to remain on it. And I just pray for the finances to continue to do that. And we're going to give you praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. He can do it.
Yes, he can. So thank you, John. Shabbat shalom to you. And we're going to be opening the lines later in this hour for your questions on the topic of eschatology, which is the study of end days. And I'd like to ask you to please keep it just to one question, because sometimes people, can go on and on. And so we want to do that quick.
You know? Yeah, so we can get on, because we have a lot of things to teach. And remember, too, is if you missed any of the previous shows, you can always go to shofarministries.net, and they're all listed there.
Yes, okay. They are, archived.
Isn't that wonderful? So, Sheila, what are we going to discuss this week?
Well, we definitely need to mention an important date on the Jewish calendar that occurs this week on Tuesday, July 20th.
Okay.
But first in the news, we are anticipating Israel to now, they've got to do something. Due to the recent failure of the sanctions given just last week by President Obama. Now, these were the toughest sanctions. I'm sure that if you pay attention to the news, which I know you
sanctions on Iraq, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were very strong sanctions on Iraq for the first time ever.
Oh, no, Iran. Iran.
I'm sorry. I'm in Iran.
Okay.
Don't screw me up.
I know.
Okay, but anyway, they were really tough sanctions, and unfortunately, they're not working because Russia has stepped up their friendship with Iran by providing the oil that the sanctions try to deny them. And I'll tell you what, it is amazing to see Bible prophecy being fulfilled in our lifetime.
And I don't know what program we mentioned that on, but this is the historic first for Russia and Iran to be friends.
Ever.
Allies. That's never happened, but the Bible predicted it, and it happened.
That's right. Over 2,500 years ago, the Bible said that the area of the north, Rush and Moscow, basically, would definitely be in cahoots with Persia, which is today's Iran.
Today's Iran.
And there it is, and it's we see it. So the question remains is, what is Israel going to do about it?
Well,
they've got to do something, because everybody knows Ahmadinejad's plan is to get rid of Israel.
Yes.
So as we've been talking the last few weeks, too, Psalm 83 still has to be fulfilled. And I believe this upcoming Mideast war probably will be that.
And why do we think it still has to be fulfilled?
Because nowhere in there does it say in that day.
So it has to be fulfilled before
in that day arrives.
In that day arrives.
And in that day is the 1,000th year of history.
And the beginning of that day starts with darkness, night.
It does. The tribulation.
The tribulation.
Mm-hmm, which is the most darkness. And in fact, that's one of the reasons the rapture has to occur, because it has to be total spiritual darkness.
And that's how that day can be both glorious and terrifying and horrible at the same time, because the first part of it's going to be judgment for 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like that scroll that John ate.
Yeah.
You know, sweet, but then bitter.
Then bitter. Mm-hmm.
You betcha. And in fact, that's one of the reasons, too, that for Satan to be able to get his power, all the light has to be removed, even if it's just for a few minutes.
Right.
You know, before the 144,000 get saved, or the tribulation saints get saved because of what we've told them. But at the moment of that rapture, all righteous will be taken, and so all darkness will remain on the earth.
Yeah, we don't know how long, but 1 hour of it would be too long.
Exactly.
You know.
Whatever.
1 hour of it would be horrible.
Mm-hmm. So, we've got Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av.
There you go. Oh, you did that great.
John's always correcting me because I'm always saying it wrong.
Well, we correct each other.
Well, you are the Hebrew expert. I guess I'm not. I can teach you, but I can't talk it.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay. Anyway, Tuesday is...
Tisha B'Av.
Thank you. The ninth of the Hebrew month of Av, a distinctively tragic day in history of the Jewish people. It's absolutely amazing to me how both temples were destroyed on the exact same date, years apart.
Coincidence?
No.
Okay.
Solomon's Temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar in about 586 B.C., and then Zerubbabel / Herod's Temple in 70 A.D., but again on the same anniversary date.
On the 9th of Av.
Yes.
What else happened on that date? Any other...
Yes, actually,
things we can...
There are. Now, maybe not so significant, but certainly, I think, worth mentioning, and I understand. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the origin of this, I believe, came with the spies. With the bad report.
I think that was the first one.
That was the first one, and Moses sent the spies out. Only two came back, Joshua and Caleb, with a good report. The rest of them said things, a bad report. God can't, you know, we're going to all get killed. We're like ants in the sight of these giants.
Not trusting God.
Not trusting God.
Yeah.
It's my struggle, too. I'm not going to, but
that, I know we're all guilty of that.
We're all guilty of that.
Oh, my gosh.
But there it goes. That really held them back there, and it was like an omen of things to come that were not good.
That's right. And that caused God to decree that the children of Israel, who had just left Egypt, basically, would not be permitted to enter into their land.
Ouch.
Again, they just didn't trust God, so they
Ouch.
Were about 40 years
yeah.
in the wilderness because of that. And that, apparently, according to Jewish rabbis, was the first ninth of Av that happened.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't prove that, okay, but that is tradition. But the other ones we can prove.
Okay, and what are those?
One of them is the city of Beitar was the last fortress in Israel to hold out against the Romans during the Bar Kokhba revolt in the year 135 in Israel.
Hmm.
So it fell, and it sealed the fate of the Jewish people. Now, temple had been burned down in 70 AD, but there were still some Jews remaining.
Right.
But that was the final straw, and then it was they all pretty much left in the diaspora after that. And that happened on the 9th of Av, and we know that by historical records.
Okay. And that was a big fortress, and apparently they...
Yeah.
Romans burst through it or something? And,
exactly.
And, okay.
And then even 1 year later, they actually plowed the whole area down, and they did that on the 9th of Av, also, I understand.
Wow.
Yeah.
And here's a biggie here. The year is 1290, and for King Edward I of Spain expels the Jews.
Yes, he did.
Why? Because they won't convert to their Catholicism, I think, is why.
I think that is.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so he expelled them. And then as a result,
yes.
Spain's fortunes just kept diminishing.
Drastically.
Bad economy, and it got worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, I bet you they were wishing they kept the Jews. But you know what? Sometimes people are so ignorant, they don't even recognize what happened or the reason why.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what happens.
You know, the Jews are a blessing. When you bless them, you are actually blessing God. And God will, in return, bless you.
So
and it's a blessing to have them in your country.
And so sometimes maybe some of the catastrophes that we're experiencing is because of what we've been doing to Israel lately.
You think?
I don't know. But also in 1492, King Ferdinand of Spain issued the expulsion decree setting Tisha B'Av as the final date by which not a single Jew would be allowed to walk on Spanish soil.
Wow. 1492.
Hmm.
That sounds familiar. Now, most of us know that date as that's when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. If you learn that in history like I did.
Yeah.
But you know what we didn't learn in history? We didn't learn. No one told us that the Jews were expelled from Spain. We just
never.
Heard about Columbus discovering
right.
America.
Right.
So, hey, we need to brush up on our history here.
Yes. And also in 1914, World War I actually began the downward slide to the Holocaust, and that began on Tisha B'Av.
Yeah, and actually World War II was just a continuation of World War I. That was actually one war, but it was they're linked.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And in 1942, the mass deportation of Jews from Warsaw to Treblinka. That was on the 9th of Av.
It was?
Yes.
Man.
It's incredible. So, anyway, devout Jews around the world like to fast on Tisha B'Av. It's not a God-ordained fast, okay? And there's really only one God-ordained fast, and that's on Yom Kippur. But the devout Jews do fast on that day in mourning.
They have a lot of fast days.
Yes, they do. They've added some.
Yeah,
definitely. Not all, though, 24 hours. This one is.
This one's 24.
Some they're only, you know, half a day or anything. But this is sundown to sundown, and they do fast from food and water in mourning for the destruction of the two temples. And it's important to understand that the Jews' mourning is not only about a building.
Right.
Okay. But most profoundly about the loss of the manifest presence of God that had dwelt in them.
Yeah, that's the main reason.
Yeah.
And that's something to be sad about.
But often we see very notable occurrences on anniversary dates.
Now, why is this? Why does God use anniversary dates? Why are they repeating? Why is this happening?
That's a good question. And I believe, personally, it's to give us clues to God's character. Because I believe he is a date setter. And if we can understand this, we can look at certain dates and see, wow, maybe something significant will be happening on that.
So God is a date center,
setter? Setter, I think so.
I think he's an appointment keeper, too.
Oh, absolutely. But look at the date Nisan 17, okay, that's on the Hebrew calendar. Basically, when you look at things that happen on that date, you can look at it and say, wow, that date kind of represents new life.
And why?
Well, first of all, Noah's Ark landed in Mount Ararat on Nisan 17.
Okay.
Representing
that
new life.
That represents a new beginning there.
Right.
Yeah.
Haman was actually hung on Nisan 17. That's the terrorists and the Jews that wanted to destroy them all in the Book of Esther.
Yeah, that was the end of Haman and the beginning of a fresh start.
Yeah, that was like new life to the Jews because they were all going to die.
Yes, they
that
were.
Was Nisan 17.
Hmm.
King Hezekiah in the Old Testament actually restored the offerings and the sacrifices on Nisan 17, which to the Jews at that time would allow them to repent, you know, and cover their sins that they had committed, which he reinstituted that. They were gone for a while.
Well, he was a revival preacher.
He was.
Yes, he was.
But there's the biggest one of all.
I think I know what that
I
one is.
I think you do.
Yes. That would be the resurrection of our Lord.
That's right. So that definitely represents new life to us.
Yes, it does.
But those are all things that happen on that date. So tell me, God doesn't look at certain days to do certain things.
It's very plain.
That's right. For instance, Jesus was actually born on one of the feasts.
Mm-hmm.
And on Tishri 15 is the Feast of Tabernacles. And we know from our studies, and we've talked about it.
Right.
I've shown it on, you know, through my studies that I believe he was born on the Feast of Tabernacles because it's a season of joy and he is our joy. And also, Nisan 14 is the first day of Passover.
Yes.
And John the Baptist was born then. So there's significant things that happen on significant dates. And one of the reasons I believe he will come back for his bride on an anniversary date also. I am just so convinced of it now. And again, it's from studying God's word, seeing the kind of God that we have and how he likes to do these things. And it gives us clues.
So, in other words, coming back for his bride, coming back to rapture the church,
yes,
correct?
I do. I believe it'll be on an anniversary date.
But what anniversary, though? Do you have a clue?
I do have a clue. And I believe that it'll probably be on the anniversary date of the creation of man is when he'll take us.
So, day six.
Day six.
Yes.
That's right. Which would be Adam's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was the first man.
And that would be a Friday.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking it's going to be around Rosh Hashanah. What do you think?
You think a Friday around Rosh Hashanah?
I do.
Okay. We'll say that. Okay.
Okay.
Not going to say a date.
No, I don't know what year because only God knows when the end of that 6,000 years is. But
yeah.
It will be on the end of the 6,000 years from the creation of Adam.
Given what we've just said and what we found out about God being a date setter and an appointment keeper, why wouldn't it?
Oh, I know.
You know.
It just comes more so clear to me. And, you know, even 2 Peter 3:8, so we've talked about the last few times, a day is 1,000 years. And so we have that picture of the creation of time.
Isn't it cool that, you know, you've told me this a lot of times when you study your Bible and you study. And you ask God to help you find things. Isn't it cool when you find stuff?
I know. And you know, out there, if you do that, if you write little notes down when you ask the Holy Spirit to show you something that you don't understand, and then sometimes it happens the next day, sometimes a week, sometimes a month, sometimes a year.
Yes.
But eventually you will get that answer, and then you can go back and say, okay, this is when I found out the answer.
You know, and I found something out. I was reading Luke last night, and when Jesus was resurrected, and he appeared before his disciples on the beach there, and they thought he was a ghost, and he said, "Wait a minute, give me something to eat." And he proved that he was eating. And then it says that he told them that everything that was written about him in the Bible was fulfilled, and then he opened their minds so that they could understand the Bible.
It's all up to the Holy Spirit.
And that's, it's the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is the baptizer. Mm-hmm. He baptizes with the Holy Spirit, and that's he's going to open your mind to this.
Absolutely.
So have your mind open.
Up to him.
Yes.
And how many times have you read something, John, and then you read it again and you see something that you just never saw before when you read it?
Just about every time we do. It used to be at Shofar Assembly. It used to be every time we went to Shofar Assembly or went to hear you at, what's that place you go up to?
Mentor?
Chester Christian.
Chesterland, Mentor. Yeah.
And Mentor. You know, that would happen.
Places.
That would happen. And you would read a verse and I go, you know, I've never heard it that way. And that's happened to me a couple times. When if you're really after God's heart, you're really studying his word. And like you said, he will show you. And I have, and these things that you've read a dozen times, maybe more, will pop out. And you go, oh.
Yeah. Well, like Psalm 83.
Yeah.
I mean, I've read the Psalms before, but this last time I read it, about 2-3 months ago now, it just like stood out like, wow, that war hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's got to happen before we're out of here.
Yeah.
So, and I think I'll just bet you it'll be this summer. Maybe next month. And if it is, I would think it would be on a night that's the darkest, which is the least moon, I would think. New moon or something, so maybe it'll be.
Yeah,
a
new moon is a dark moon. So.
Yeah, so I don't know, just a thought.
Uh-huh.
But there is a scripture in Proverbs 25:2, And it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. So in other words, in my reading of this, it is the glory of God to hide things in his word.
Mm-hmm.
But the glory of kings, which we are kings and priests now, is to search those things out. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Well, that's what it
search,
sounds.
Search, search, search.
That's what it sounds like. God set it up to work that way.
But unfortunately, I talk to a lot of Christians that don't search. They're just reading. Reading is good. Don't misunderstand me. And the more you read, the more, you know, you become like Jesus. But to search it out, you know, to go from verse to verse, to look up the side columns or your center columns or whatever you've got with your little A, B, and C.
Verse 3, and then you go to A, and it says, look this up, and there's something about this. There's a reference
in
here.
In another place. Right, because Scripture interprets Scripture.
That's where you have to do. Now, we're a nation, like you said earlier, we were talking before we went on the air, that we have all grown up with television. This is like the first generation. And even now, so the younger ones coming up, they see a lot of television. And what happens, unfortunately, with television is it fills in all the blanks for you. There's nothing left to the imagination. You just sit there and take it in. It's almost being like fed by your... spoon-fed, and you're eating.
The demise of readers. They're not reading.
And that's why, and so when you're reading, you're going, well, you know, I'm not getting the picture. You know, I'm getting the words, I get the idea of the story, but I'm not getting emotions, I'm not getting everything that the TV brings in.
But you know what?
It's all there, but you have to find it. You have to search it out.
That's right.
It's hidden. It's concealed.
And since you just came up with the a TV thing, I'm just going to say something real quick. I think it causes ADD in children, along with some other things, but basically that because it's a fast-moving, these cartoons now are splashy, fast, loud, and they keep looking at this, and then when they go to sit down to read, which is more quiet and serene, you can't get their attention.
Right.
So, people, if you've got newborns in first, second, third, ages 1, 2, 3, 4, please limit their time on the television and try to let them watch shows that aren't so fast-moving. And like Mr. Rogers, if there's reruns, I mean, he was nice and slow. And in fact, you do a great job.
Well, you know, in memory, in honor of his memory, he was a good man. But things need to go slower.
I think,
and you're always expecting
calm
to be
yourself
entertained.
Down.
You want to be entertained by the Bible.
That's right.
And you know what? It is entertaining. And the more you see, search out the things, the concealed parts, it gets very entertaining.
That's right.
I don't even think entertaining is the right word. I think it's a blessing. You start getting very blessed.
Okay.
Are we up against
the
break already?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the lines will be open when we come back. If you have a question, please limit it to one question on End Times. The numbers are 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. And we do cover a great big area on radio. And both Sheila and I would like to visit you at your church for an evening of messianic worship and a timely message. Tell your pastor. Ask him to give us a call. 440-834-9006. I'd also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, and all your gifts are tax-deductible. And your donations are really, really needed to stay on the air. So really, folks, if you like this forum, you're learning from the solid Bible teaching, please send your donations to Box 513 in Berkeley. That's 44021. Or give through shofarministries.net and use PayPal. And you can purchase our teaching DVDs and you can get for a donation of $15.
And we still need your help out there. We still need 7 more people to pledge $100 per month, and we can handle the rest. So please, you can call your pledge on the air or just call and give Joe your information. Perhaps you'd like to help sponsor the show by advertising your company or just refer someone who could. Call 440-834-9006.
And you'll be part of the show for 10, wasn't it? Didn't we start out with 10?
We
got 3, and we just need 7 more.
But those 7 are really hard to get.
Yes, they are.
I'm telling you.
Well, anyway, those numbers again for your end time question, 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. And you're staying with us now. Now we're going to take a short break. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back. We're here. We're going to hear a good song, too.
By you.
Yeah, by me.
let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot, and that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. Do you love children, John?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have seven, and I love little babies. But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of five and grandmother of three, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's income, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531. Okay, so let me ask you, how many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kasalek of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
Have you visited a bookstore lately? Titles line the shelves, encouraging you to go out and explore. There are thousands of cities to visit, hotels to try, places to eat, and the list goes on. With so many things to do, how are we to find the time or energy to accomplish them all? With an ambitious spirit and adequate rest. This is Robin Trzynski, and before we can indulge our desire to explore, we need to make sure that we get the necessary amount of sleep. Without it, we cannot function properly, physically, mentally, or emotionally. But if we take care of ourselves, sleep can provide us with the energy we need to think, act, and experience more creatively, effectively, and fully. So before you go out to conquer the world, make sure you have a quality mattress and are getting the sleep you deserve. You can start by exploring the Original Mattress Factory and experience more than just a mattress store. Experience an original.
The Original Mattress Factory, 4930 State Road, right at the 480 ramp. Or check us out on the web at originalmattress.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, Ph.D., host of Helpline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Helpline, the world's leader in cell-resonant nutrition technology, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works. One of the best ways to assure you have the minerals your body needs for healthy bones and soft tissue is to use this month's special, Coral Calcium Powder and our Aloe Powder. The aloe is an ideal chelator and transporter for the coral and makes it taste great. Buy two bottles of either product and get the third one free. Call 800-370-3447. That's 800-370-3447. Experience nutrition that really works.
Listen to Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall, weekdays at 4, right here on AM 1220, The Word.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. As one of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray, and I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and that song was sung by our one and only John Bartlett. And I have to tell you, John, I never get tired of hearing that. I play it at home. I don't know if you know that. I just go to my webpage and turn it on because it's there. By itself. Anyone can listen to it at any time.
I actually enjoy listening to it, too. Mm-hmm. It's a song that the Lord gave me.
Yeah.
I got it all at once back in 2003. And I never considered putting it on tape or recording it. And then when I did, he helped me with that, too.
Yes, he did.
And he made that.
Because you did all the parts, didn't you?
Yeah. The whole everything, the drums, piano, guitar, vocals, and whatever.
We would never have been able to do that 20 years ago, even. Look how technology has
technology helped, but the Lord, you know, when the Lord puts a goal and a purpose, whether if it's just one song or if it's going out and witnessing, if He puts that purpose in your heart and that goal, He'll help you. He'll help you bring it to pass, and
He definitely
did with that song.
Hopefully, maybe some other stations will pick that up.
I hope so, and I hope somebody picks up on the idea that you know we will be leaving this earth one way or the other.
That's right.
And if you are leaving sooner than you were planning, and you haven't met the Lord as your Savior yet, it would be a good time to do that.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what, I would not wait another minute.
I wouldn't either.
But let's talk about something that we haven't talked about yet, and that is one of the most popular sacred symbols in Judaism, and it's called the mezuzah. This is a kind of a long rectangular box of various materials, sizes, and styles, and you attach it to the right side of at least the doorpost of every observant Jewish family. They do. And even those of the not so observant.
And on their businesses.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And even you might even see them attached to other habitable rooms there in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's also a place. But basically, it's a sign proclaiming it to be a household separated unto God and His service, with an obligation to abide in His word and transmit it to others, especially in one's own household and all the succeeding generations. It also demonstrates God's ever-present protection of His people and affirms their belief in the truth of prophecy, the creation of the world, and divine providence.
And all that just on that little gizmo that's attached to the doorpost.
That's right. Well, because...
Why is that?
First of all, the mezuzah actually means doorpost,
okay.
And it contains inside a piece of parchment on which is inscribed the text of the Hebrew scripture, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And
yeah, also known as the Shema.
Yeah.
Correct?
Right. Do you want to read that, John?
Oh.
Or do you want me to?
Let's see if you have it. Whoever has it first.
Yeah. Should have gotten out ahead of time, but I didn't think about it, actually. Here we go.
I could probably recite it to you.
It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house or when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Now, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8 says, You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Ah, that's where we get the doorpost, and in Hebrew, mezuzah. And here it is, literally written. It's not a figurative thing. It's actually written on a parchment inside these things.
That's right. And then it's confirmed again by Jesus, even in Mark 12, which you can read at your leisure, 12:29-30. But he's saying the same thing. You need to love God with all your heart.
Yes.
You know, that's it.
He said that's the most important commandment.
It is.
And love your neighbor as yourself.
That's
said,
right.
That was it. That was
as yourself.
Yes.
So they were told to put it on their gates. And if they didn't have a gate, they could put it on their doorpost.
Now, what gate, though?
The
when
front.
You say gates, the fence, you know, where the cows come in and out. Or didn't they mean the gates of the cities, though,
yeah.
Where they did the business?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because in the old cities, the walled cities, where business was done, where the lawyers all had their shops and everybody had their business shops, were all done on the outside of the city at the gates.
Yeah, actually everywhere.
Everywhere. Okay. And the Jews follow this to the degree that I've been in many business areas where the businesses were owned by Jewish people, and literally on the doors where the trucks back up it to, mm-hmm. on each door
wow.
would be a mezuzah.
Wow.
On each door.
Different sizes, different shapes, but
yes.
usually, you know, kind of rectangular. You can spend a lot of money, you can spend just a little bit of money.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, but behind it is the words is what really matters, what's being put up there and being protected by the housing of the mezuzah.
Yes.
But let me give you a little history. Monotheism, an uncommon and unique understanding in the ancient world, came to the Israelites as a result of God's revelation to Abraham, and that's like 400 years before the Mount Sinai event.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham was a Gentile to start, a polytheistic Babylonian by birth, of course that means more than one God, a Syrian by nationality, and in a highly pagan environment. It was by divine revelation that he discovered those gods, small g, were no gods at all, and that there was really only one God,
mm-hmm.
the eternal creator, who, unlike the material representations of pagan gods, was invisible. But Abraham answered his call. He crossed over the Euphrates River and entered into the future promised land. With this act of faith, he became the first Hebrew.
So what does the word Hebrew mean?
Well, it comes from the root word eber, meaning to cross over.
To cross over. That's kind of interesting. Very. From polytheism to monotheism.
That's right.
That's where you're crossing from, right?
That's
okay.
Right. So Romans 4:16 says that Abraham is the father of all the faithful. That
mm-hmm.
would be you and me, spiritually speaking. Abraham was chosen because God knew that he could depend on him to remain righteous. And he refers to that in Genesis 18:19. And he knew that Abraham would hand it down through the children in all generations. That was such a pivotal thing.
Right.
That was so important. So basically, they would use any device that proved to be an aid in accomplishing this effort. In other words, a reminder. So hence, the mezuzah is like a badge of honor, you might say, to proclaim the sovereignty of God, the Almighty, El Shaddai.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mezuzah silently declares you are under the authority of the Torah, or the Word. Of course, we know this Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
So it has a lot of meaning. It's just not a sentiment.
Correct.
Right.
Observant Jews, upon entering or leaving their homes, actually touched the mezuzah and they kissed that finger.
That they touched it. Well, some may also say the verse of Psalm 121:8, may God keep my going out and my coming in from now on and forevermore.
That's right. Yes,
I've got to actually have that written on the side of my door.
Okay.
May God bless your going out and your coming in.
All right.
Yeah.
On another note, remember, especially in Europe, during the time of the Third Reich, that displaying a mezuzah identified themselves as Jews to their enemies, but they still kept the commandment, knowing that by doing so, it could even cost them their lives.
Wow, that really speaks, doesn't it?
Yes. And here's an interesting note that I think you might like. In the ancient world, much superstition, of course, is connected with entering a door. And it was thought an evil omen to touch the threshold. Marco Polo reported that in China, guards were stationed at all the doors of important facilities to ensure that no one stepped on the threshold or considerable punishment would apply, which is where the custom of one carrying his bride over the threshold originated.
Oh!
While this tradition may not have impacted the Israelites directly, and it shouldn't have, they did place importance upon the entrance of their houses. And it is interesting that even the temple in Jerusalem had a special officer called the keeper of the threshold, where Israel's goings in and comings out were to be blessed and preserved.
Wow. And, you know, we know many important city business and legal matters occurred at the gates of the city.
As you said.
Like by the elders and officials.
That's right. What adds to the uniqueness of the mezuzah is the Hebrew letter Sheen.
Oh, yeah. We talked about God's initial last week, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yeah. It's a symbol for the divine, which is always inscribed on the front of a mezuzah. It looks like the English letter W. It has the sound of SH.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins the word Shaddai from El Shaddai. El means God, and Shad means who is, and he is enough.
Okay.
Altogether, it says, God who is sufficient is enough and has done enough.
Sheila, don't you and God have the same initial? I mean, Sheila starts with a sh, doesn't it? The same root word as Shiloh, which means Messiah, so you have a little bit in common there.
Yes, I'm excited about that.
Do you think there's a lot? I think names mean things.
I do, too. And my mother, didn't probably understand all that. I don't even know why she named me Sheila, but I think it had to be God.
I think so, too. Because,
I love it.
I think that's very neat, yep.
So, again, as we talked about last week, though, God, too, has made his name on Jerusalem. 1 Kings 11:36, we read it last week. The city which I have chosen to put my name there.
Mm-hmm.
And has, with the three valleys that shapes the sheen, that looks like a W.
Mm-hmm.
So when you place the mezuzah on your door, you are placing the name of God to the entry of your dwelling. Now, sometimes the mezuzah, you will see the whole name of Shaddai on a container in the Hebrew letters of Sheen, Dalet, and Yod.
Uh-huh, like the necklace you're wearing today?
Yes. Yeah. These three letters are also the acronym Shomer, Beltot, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, it sounds
and
like
Yisrael, which means guardian of the doors of Israel.
Wow.
So every Jewish person has one on their door in Israel. And when I was there, even the hotel rooms each have a mezuzah.
Sure.
I mean, not Jewish.
In Israel, of course, sure.
Hotel of David and things like that. My mezuzah has the English as well as the Hebrew of Deuteronomy 6:4-9.
Mm-hmm.
But Orthodox and ancient Jews only have it handwritten Hebrew to include even more scriptures, Deuteronomy 11:12-21, which are similar and more detailed verses on real parchment paper by a Jewish scribe. And then it's declared kosher.
Mm-hmm. And this is available at most Jewish bookstores, and it is kind of pricey.
Yeah.
I think it's $60 or $70 for one of these little hand
parchments. Yeah, it's mainly because of the real parchment, I think.
Yes,
that,
and
right?
They write it real small.
Yeah.
So are you saying that we need to have mezuzahs on our houses?
Oh, no, I'm not. It's just a good reminder, but nothing we do will make God accept us more or even gain a higher status.
Right.
The old covenant required it because it was a type or picture of Jesus to come. But now we, the believers, are to be that mezuzah that houses the word of God and is stamped with his name.
That's right. That's why.
The Shema should be on our hearts continually.
Right.
When we sit, when we rise, when we walk, when we lie down, and...
And we need to teach it diligently to our children.
Yes. Oh, people, please don't let that get by you.
Yeah, this is really, really important.
This is the main commandment, actually, and again, also confirmed by Jesus. Jesus must be on the door to our hearts. In fact, he is the door, John 10 says.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting how the ancient Jews felt the mezuzah would ward off even evil spirits from their homes. Yeah, the word does ward off the evil one. In fact, he hates the word. Today, all true believers literally have the word inside of you, inside of us. It is imperative that he grow in us, and he can only do that by abiding in his word, by studying the word, keeping it close to you. And the evil one will flee. James says so.
Yes, I do believe that. He hates to hear the truth and the word of God.
That's right. And it says, resist the devil and he will flee. Well, how do you resist?
Yes.
By submitting to God. If you read the whole thing in context,
yes.
Submitting is obeying, which he said, abide in the word of God.
So it's really, having a mezuzah is really no different from wearing a WWJD bracelet or anything else like that. It's a good reminder. I have one on a couple of my doors in my household.
Sure.
And
it's just a part of the rich heritage to which a Christian becomes entitled.
Yeah.
When he comes to faith in Jesus. It's also a reminder of the word in us by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, say you wear something that has the sheen on it or even a Star of David. If a Jewish person asks you why you have it on, just say that you do it in the same spirit of the Gentile Ruth. And how now you believe that the word that the mezuzah houses did become flesh.
That's a good opening, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Good conversation starter.
And I've heard many people tell me, you know, they'll wear the Star of David or something. A lot of them will wear the cross in the middle.
Yeah.
But it does. It is definitely a door opener to tell them who you are and all about Jesus. And I believe with the Christian's understanding of the Jewish symbolism, really, our lives are enhanced as we respect and it takes on deeper meaning for those who have stood the test of time and passed it on to us, praise God, for our enrichment.
Should you put one on the door, make sure you mount it right. Now,
okay.
just don't tack it up there anyway. There's a
okay.
way to do it, right?
Isn't sure. It should be on the right side
of
the door and a little slight angle to the left pointing to the major portion of your home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's a benediction, by the way, that goes on when you say it.
Yeah. It's blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who highly regard your Torah.
Your Torah.
Yes.
Doesn't everything just boil down to the Torah?
Yes, it does.
It really does.
And our living word, Yeshua. And if you haven't received him as your Savior yet, today would be a good day.
That's right.
That's it.
Get on your knees. Go to your room. You don't need any special church or anything to do it. Just you and God. Repent
That's
for
right.
your sins. And specifically mention the sin that really is probably hounding you more than any others. Because it's a form of deliverance when you do that. You
yes.
really need to confess it before God specifically.
And confessing is no more than just agreeing with God that it is sin. You don't have to be contrite and go, you know, and cry about it or anything like that. It's
no,
just, you just agree with God. God says it's sin and this is keeping you from God. And become another Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And God will introduce himself to you and give you a life and a purpose.
That's right.
And take you across. You will become a crossover.
Crossover. From paganism, really.
Yeah.
To monotheism, to God, and just invite him into your heart. It's really simple. Don't make a big deal about it. What's really going to be the test is then your walk afterwards.
Yeah.
And how are you going to be able to have victory? You've got to be in the Word of God.
And listen, folks, if you come from a religious family and your family members are saved, and maybe your dad's a preacher, maybe your mother's it doesn't matter. Your family cannot get you saved. The only person that can save you is Jesus. You can't count on your family you might be, you can't count on church membership either. You have to really get down and talk to the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. All right. Well, we had a wonderful hour with everybody out there. I hope you enjoyed the show as we've done giving it to you. Time is about up. So we're going to close, and next time we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about particularly the Kurds, because I understand there's a war going on over there. Apparently Syria has done some killings of the Kurds, and a lot of people don't understand who they were, but they used to be a nation called Kurdistan, and they were divided up in about 1920. And a little bit went to Syria, a little bit went to Iraq, a little bit went to Turkey, and so now they're trying to fight to get their statehood back. And I'm going to talk about that because right now there's a war going on. And
right.
Many are getting killed, and nobody's reporting on it.
And they may be a wild card in this coming war of Psalm 83.
That's right.
We don't know.
We don't know, but I'm going to do some research this week and try to report on that next week.
Okay, we're going to leave you now with the Aaronic blessing. Are we ready?
Sure.
Okay. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishma recha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'esem lecha shalom.
And this is the English interpretation of that. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. So till next week, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love you or love her shall prosper. And that doesn't mean maybe. You shall prosper.
That's right. And that's Psalm 122, verse 6. And basically, when you're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, you are praying for Jesus to return, because He's King and He's going to have His throne once again as the throne of David in Jerusalem.
Amen.
Amen. Till next week.
Shalom, everyone.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.
Hey, radio listeners, have you tried the Arbonne products yet? Arbonne offers premium quality beauty, health, and wellness products with targeted results. They employ consumer and clinical testing to reinforce their research and ensure their proprietary formulas deliver unparalleled performance. Nicole Marus is a Cleveland representative of these all-natural and non-toxic products who will give you a free consultation on proper maintenance of your particular skin type, along with free samples for you to try. Nothing to lose and a lot to gain. So be sure to give Nicole a call at 440-840-2176. You might also ask her how you can earn some extra money as well. Once again, that's 440-840-2176. And tell Nicole you heard about her on WHKWRadio.com.